Because you can handle the truth. Down in flames, but there ain't sunshine in my life.
Remember I made up that word fakedemia the other week, and I was thinking that I wrote this down in my notes over the week. You know how these people are all hacks, Marxist hackademia. They're hackademics, Marxist hackademics. So they're hacks and they're fakes, fakedemia and hackademia. You can use those. Go ahead. I want to talk about this, and I'm not going to play all the clips, but there's been a massive amount of clustered food recalls, and I know you guys have all heard about them. I mean, it's just like, what the hell's going on here? Are they setting us up for the big biological, in which I've talked about for 4 years, is the angle of the bio kind of hit angle? You know, people are talking about the Deagle.com projections again. Like, hell, I've been talking about those for a couple of years now, where our population suddenly dips down a couple hundred million and the projections out to 2025. Well, think about this. Okay, I'm going to go through this. Hungry Man, select Hungry Man dinners, massive recalls. Okay, select several states, we've had a salmonella outbreak. Kraft Heinz, Taco Bell, salsa con queso, big recall. Four different kinds of the Goldfish crackers, big recall. Ritz crackers, big recall. And then McDonald's, salads and other things. There's a massive recall on that. And we all know about the romaine lettuce in the last couple months. That's a massive cluster right there. I think there is it some sort of desensitization kind of psychological mechanism here to make us all think, well, hell, half the food supply is poisoned now. So if some big outbreak does occur, it's not going to be surprising. You see, just real creepy there. Now let's see here. I want to get into this, and this is uncomfortable territory for a lot of people. Ken, get clip 14 ready, and I'm going to kind of tie all these kind of things together. Okay. Now, there was a murder of a young 18-year-old black girl on the BART station out there in Oakland. Bay Area Rapid Transit, and I've been playing clips about all the junkies laying around, needles everywhere, feces, people laying around in public injecting drugs right into their bodies, nobody doing anything about it. It's just one big cluster out there on the West Coast, and they got this new mayor, black female mayor, who's not going to, I guess, try to clean up the city as far as holding people accountable for their illegal behavior. It's more like, no, we just need to clean up after these people, because the homeless, they're just there are new gods, and we can't criticize the homeless. I mean, it's just insane. Even though there's a lot of the homeless are, they have mental problems, but a lot of them are substance abusers, and they would rather be homeless and be high all day and drunk all day than try to clean themselves up and you know, grab some gainful employment and pay, you know, do whatever. They want to live out there on the West Coast where the weather's nice and get inject drugs into their bodies all day and get their SNAP EBT card charged and, you know, subsistence living. And these people, you know, the $300 worth of food stamp food, these people will buy it for $150. They'll go buy $300 worth of food and they'll give the card back and they'll do things the same thing the next month. So half these people aren't even utilizing the products which all of us are paying for these people to receive. The whole thing is a racket. It's a scam. Finally, people are like waking up to this, but there's too many people that are just on way cognitive impairment, arrested development, whatever you want to call it, where they're almost unreachable. But I want you to listen closely to the language here. Now, it's a young lady, a real pretty looking black lady. She gets stabbed by a white guy on the subway, the BART, in Oakland. Now, all the black on white crimes, the polar bear hunting, the knockout games, all the rapes, the murders, shootings, kidnappings, tortures, blow torching little white kids, and all of these massive, it's massively imbalanced to where black people kill white people. I mean, just monumental numbers. But look how they make this. So it's like these people wait for a white person to do something to a black person. Then, oh, the sky's falling. You see how they do this? And then they've got the black population so warped and twisted and mind controlled that they think it's an epidemic because it happens once when people on their sector are doing it in epidemic levels to white people. That's the just frustrating, wild, upside down, goofy reality we live in. And it's like a freaking dystopic novel that we're living in. But I want you guys to listen. Clip 14, Ken. I want you guys to listen to the language very, very closely. Go ahead and roll it.
The latest now on the murder of an 18-year-old black woman in Oakland, California. Nia Wilson and her sister were both stabbed while waiting for a train. Nia did not survive. The attacker is now facing charges. He's white. Social media has exploded with anger over how police have handled the case. The hashtag #SayHerName has gone viral. ABC's Lindsay Davis here with the story. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning to you, George. Protesters both in the street and online have already declared this a hate crime. But police say they're still searching for a motive and have not ruled race out as a factor. Nia Wilson's dad says he's convinced that his two daughters were stabbed because of racism.
This morning, a grieving family is preparing to bury 18-year-old Nia Wilson, the teen girl brutally stabbed in an unprovoked attack while exiting a train in Oakland, California.
My daughter was everything to me. I was supposed to be planning her graduation, not her funeral.
Her murder is now being investigated as a possible hate crime. The accused murderer, John Cowell, appeared in court Wednesday as Nia's family watched.
There has to be evidence to show that it was motivated by hate, and in this case, whether it was motivated by their gender or by their race, we're still gathering evidence to look at that.
According to police, 27-year-old Cowell approached Nia and her sister Sunday as they were heading home from a family party, stabbing them both before disappearing into the crowd.
All of a sudden, we transfer, and just to get blindsided by a maniac. For what? I don't know why.
Cowell was arrested 21 hours later, charged with murdering the young woman who had planned to join the military after school. But what was seen as a lack of coverage in the aftermath of Nia's murder led to protests and outrage online. More than 68,000 people taking to Twitter with the hashtag #SayHerName. Celebrities urging justice for Nia. Tracy Ellis Ross tweeting, "Our bodies and our humanity deserve safety and joy." And Anne Hathaway calling out white privilege with a post about Nia saying, "May she rest in the power and peace she was denied here." Adding, "White people do not have equivalents for this fear of violence."
Cowell has not yet entered a plea. Cowell's family says he has suffered from mental illness most of his life, but the district attorney says they are not worried about his competency to stand trial. You heard Nia's dad there say that he was supposed to be planning her graduation, not her funeral. Her funeral is now scheduled to take place next week.
So senseless. Okay, Lindsay, thanks very much. Hi, everyone. Tour stuff.
So they had no problem saying the race and blah, 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 blah. You see how they pushed it? You see how they crafted it? White privilege, blah, 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 blah. I mean, the whole thing was a train wreck. But you see how the media slanted to demonize whites. And anytime a black person kills a white person, they don't say the name. That when the four black ladies stabbed up the black waitress in Georgia, they never said the name, the race. It's the Zio media is insane. Okay, and it's extremely anti-white. Now, Jonas Alexis. Okay, well, no, let me dig into this. I dug out my Synagogue Rising book by Hugh Aikens. Okay, and this book is 700 some odd pages. I mean, and this book is like an encyclopedia. And this is kind of like almost a Dennis Ross Catholic worldview of anti-Christian Judaism and counter-revolutionary resistance. But I'm going to read a little bit of it, and then I'm going to go into kind of like what we just covered, and I'm going to – and a Jonas Alexis article, all right? The storm of hysteria, a whole world swept away by Holocaust propaganda. In the storm of hysteria surrounding Holocaustism, a rabid irrationality has captured the minds of men and their governments and church leaders. They are hallucinating who, despite the tons of evidence in favor of the revisionist position, still believe in the official.
All right, sorry, folks. I got hit again. There goes my internet connection. I'm restarting it. Boy, it's a real pain. Now, I don't know where I got cut off. But anyway, so we listened to the Bart video about the young lady getting stabbed, and I started reading out of Synagogue Rising by Hugh Aikens, okay? And I'm waiting for my system to restart. Denying the Holocaust is purported to be the most morally reprehensible expression of race hatred in the modern world. In several Western nations, it is a criminal act punishable by law. You may curse God, blaspheme, defile the image of the Blessed Virgin, blah, 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 but you may not speak negatively or critically or doubtfully of the Holocaust, of Israel, etc., etc. Revisionist books are banned in several countries. Revisionist scholars are persecuted everywhere, several of them languishing in prison cells. In the U.S., Holocaust denial is not yet illegal, not yet, but it is held up no less as a moral outrage and expression of the most fanatical and vile form of racism, of Jew hatred and anti-Semitism, and is equated with nothing less repugnant than neo-Nazism. Merely to question or express doubt about the sacred 6 million is tantamount to the bigotry of the most odious of deranged minds, sheer madness. Yes, Holocaustism has become a sacred tenet of the modern world's new civil religion. And because the lie has been repeated so often, large numbers of unthinking people have come to accept it as true. Over time, it became accepted as given, no longer in need of evidence to support its claims, no matter how overtly false, far-flung, and unbelievable. And this is the state of affairs today. The whole world has been swept away by Holocaust propaganda and a storm of hysteria. Criminalizing the quest for truth, all right? It doesn't stop with telling lies upon lies and repeating them without end through all the organs of propaganda at their disposal, including the Vatican itself, as well as certain highly regarded traditionalist sources. All right? So let me see. I'm on the article. All right. Nor does it stop with Jews extorting hundreds of millions of dollars in false retribution claims from innocent generations on a multinational level. Crypto-Judaic totalitarianism goes further. It fosters the tyrannical suppression of truth, of the right to speak the truth, and of the right to propagate the truth. And it criminalizes those who dare to speak the truth. It criminalizes the very quest for truth. Let's see, several European Union member countries, including France and Germany, have passed Holocaust denial laws, making it legal to make claims equivalent to those of Holocaust denial. Holocaust denial is per se criminal offense in Austria, Belgium, Czech Republic, France, Germany, Israel, Lithuania, Poland, and Switzerland. It is punishable by fines and jail times, jail sentences. Much of the literature on Hitler's final solution is worthless as scholarship, says Jewish author Norman Finkelstein. Indeed, the field of Holocaust studies is replete with nonsense, if not sheer fraud. Given the nonsense that is turned out daily by the Holocaust industry, the wonder is that there are so few skeptics, okay? So I wanted to get to that part, okay? And then I got this Jonas Alexis article, and I'm going to tie this all together, how basically the Holocaust and the N-word, N-I-G-G-R, are on the same par. And basically the Zio-communists have put the black population and the white under mind control to give this word, N-I-G-G-R, this almost magical status where one group of people can say it, the others can't, but if one person even says it and they're not calling another person that name, just saying it in the narrative of a story, blah, 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 they can still be disciplined for it. Okay, so this is Jonas Alexis from the 23rd. Should people be fired over the N-word? We need to use a universal system based on the moral law, not on what some groups have decided to believe. If we're going to enforce the law, then every single American has to abide by it. If certain principles can only be applied to certain people, then what kind of society do we want to build? Georgia State Representative Jason Spencer is in deep doo-doo. He was filmed shouting the N-word repeatedly and exposing his buttocks on Sacha Baron Cohen's new television show. Obviously, for a politician to drop trial and show his naked rear end on camera is ground for discipline, if not firing. That just shows that these so-called Republicans will do just about anything for money. They have no morals, and all you have to do is sign them a check for a few thousand dollars, and they'll do just do anything. Just look at how Netanyahu has progressively gotten the Republican Party in his right pocket. But that's not what the media is focused on right now. Race beaters are hinging on the idea that Jason Spencer should never have uttered the N-word because it presumes that Spencer is a bigot or racist. Or something equally weird. Those race baiters don't even ask Sacha Cohen to cancel his program, who's, of course, Jewish. This has been a recurrent theme over the past decade or so. What the race baiters ended up saying is that only blacks can use the N-word, even in a derogatory sense. This issue came into focus again in 2010 when radio host Laura Schlesinger commented that blacks frequently use the N-word and no one has ever gotten offended by it. In fact, Hollywood has made millions of dollars using the word. You think this is far-fetched, then watch the recent movie Equalizer 2, which I don't watch Hollywood movies, but anyway. Make sure you kill one of those niggas tonight, said one black gangster to a naive and fresh member who is just learning the ropes. Yet when white use the N-word, red flags are immediately raised. To that, this lesson is a double standard. All right, there's the break, and I'm going to try to reboot the computer. See you guys on the other side.
Stone with your name.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
I found a fallen angel, too wicked for her home. And together we will wander.
All right, we're back.
Together we will roam.
And I want to finish up on this. This N-word controversy and this mind control technique, it really parallels the Holocaust police force, the mental police force of the Holocaust, and they've created this thing for basically for blacks, and it's this word, this magical word, okay? Okay, although her conclusion was rational and embarrassed, and balance, not promoting racist sentiment at all, the media jumped on Schlesinger. Mary Curtis, former writer and editor for the New York Times, wrote a ranting response declaring, among other things, that this is the word that people with ropes use as they lynch men and women for an afternoon's entertainment. Yet Curtis failed to actually, well, white people are getting shot all the time. And I personally know a guy that was shot, and they called him an effing cracker right when they were pumping a 380 into his lung. The gang initiation or whatever, I don't know, but That's what they said to him right before they shot him. You effing cracker. And so should cracker be banned? It's just crazy. Yet Curtis failed to actually address the point Schlesinger was making. Instead of responding logically and rationally, she attacked purely fueled by outrage. If that the word indeed has such horrific connotation, why do rap artists, for example, continue to make millions of dollars using it? And where's Curtis when you really need her? Curtis's only answer that most black people I know hate the word and never use this. Obviously, that woman is living on a different planet. And then remember, this is a black author writing the article right here. She almost certainly hasn't turned on the radio in years, and she certainly hasn't been around in the hood in years, or in any kind of very kind of raw urban environment. We would have certainly advised her to do so because she has already made a fool of herself. From a rational standpoint, these clumsy, emotionally based reactions eventually lead to a thought police mentality. This is the desired outcome. When the Zio mob took blacks under their wing in the NAACP, National African American Communist Party, this thing where this shock troop creation of Jewish communism was to bring the blacks in to be the foot soldiers for it. Frank Marshall Davis is a perfect example, Barack Obama's real father, and it goes on and on and on. From a rational standpoint, these clumsy, emotionally based reactions eventually lead to a thought police mentality. Historically, the word Negro was not controversial until the latter part of the 20th century. Black intellectuals during the 50s and onward had no problem with it whatsoever, and the word was properly used in scholarly and academic works. Yeah, let a white person call a black person a Negro now and see what happens. There's going to be violence, okay? Harold Cruse's influential book is entitled The Crisis of the Negro Intellectual. Henry Allen Bullock's ground-shaking work was named A History of Negro Education in the South. Claude McKay used phrases such as nigger hell in his widely read Home to Harlem. Jewish writer Norman Mailer had a famous essay entitled The White Negro. And Norman Podhoretz wrote one entitled My Negro Problem. None of those people could be characterized as racist given the record of their dealings with blacks. Moreover, Cruse was a black professor at the University of Michigan. Bullock was a black historian and sociologist at the University of Texas. McKay was a Jamaican-American writer. The words Negro and nigger were not born out of racism, but simply described the language and context of the time. Knee-jerk reactions like Curtis's do not invite rational discussion, but, as Schlesinger rightly put it, merely to play hypersensitivity, which was created. Hypersensitivity has been created on all these levels, microaggressions, all this buffoonery, and they're creating freaking children, and then basically they're creating war. We need to grow up. We just can't remain children for years. As we have stated over and over, we need to use a universal system based on the moral law, not on what some groups have decided to believe. If we're going to enforce the law, then every single American has to abide by it. If certain principles can only be applied to certain people, what kind of society do we want to build? We will never make progress until we come to grip with the basic fact. Remember, it's some judge, some libtard judge in Baltimore said basically the black guy killed this white guy, and it was justified because the white guy allegedly dropped the N-bomb on the black guy. And so now a word, no matter how offensive, no matter how goofy, a word now is a cleansing, an umbrella to where a person can kill another person because allegedly this person called another person a word. Where's the First Amendment in all this? You see, the Zio Catholic Jesuit mob, the social justice warriors, and you know, I've covered where the term social justice comes out of, and it comes out of the Jesuit thinkers. And during the break, I'll type it up again and just read it. But you see this always this crossover between the communist Jewish faction and basically the Jesuitical liberation theology Marxist faction. They're always running together. They're always crossing paths. Synergistic wickedness. Last half hour of the program coming up.
Holding fast You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Last half hour of the program coming your way. Incendiary radio. Now, I just typed in social justice Jesuits. Jesuit social justice. And I just popped on one website, IgnatianSpirituality.com, and just go to the social justice section. And I'm not going to get into it all, but I mean, it goes back into all kinds of stuff, okay? social justice activism, Jesuit Refugee Service International. Listen to this. Jesuit Refugee Service International staff around the world visit people who have been deprived of their liberty simply for entering or remaining in a country or moving without authorization. So they're trying to make the point that you're deprived of your liberty. You're supposed to be deprived of your liberty if you're entering or remaining in a country without that country's authorization. I mean, I'm not going to try to go to somebody else's country and stay there past my visa or past when they tell me to. I mean, we're a bunch of doormats in these Jesuit Refugee Service USA. Witnesses to the reality of God as present in human history, even the most tragic experience, blah, 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 driven for their home by conflict, natural disaster, economic injustice, or violation of other human rights. Yeah, it happens, but what are we going to do? We're going to take in the entire third world because their countries are a wreck? Huh? We're going to take in, you know, and even Obama, who I can't stand the guy, he even made this point, and he's been making it lately, that they're suffering a vacuum in a lot of these countries because the people that actually could make a difference and make their countries better, a lot of them are the ones that get up and leave their countries. And so then you have this a sucking effect of the best and brightest out of these countries that could actually pull some reforms off and turn some things around. They done left, so all you got left is – I don't want to use derogatory terms, but you know what I'm saying. You got to think about it that way too. And so, I mean, think about this. If you're a world controller, you're like, yeah, we got a bunch of uranium and gold in country B in Africa. Okay. So let's pay off some jerks in that country to start off a bunch of strife. Okay. Then we'll run off all the intellectuals. They'll all move and go to school somewhere or try to come up into Europe or the United States or whatever, get jobs. And all you got left is the sitting ducks. And then we can come through with our merc squads, whack them and put them under subjugation and then plunder the uranium, rare earths, whatever. I mean, you don't think that's going on, folks? You got to think about that angle as well with this. I know it's a lot of the European protectionist mindsets, we're thinking of our own countries being overran with goons and so forth that are going to wreck the country. But think about that too. That's not happening everywhere. There's a lot of these guys. They just hear through the grapevine. Hey. Europe's letting in people. Let's go get some white chicks. You know, Australia, they're letting people in. Let's go jihad that baby and turn it Islamic. All those Indonesians right there across the sea there, not that far away, the largest Muslim country in the world. You don't think they're eyeballing all the surrounding countries that are non-Muslim? Come on. We know Muslim ideology is to spread the faith by conquest. That's Orthodox Islamic teaching. Anybody that doesn't say so is a liar. Anyway, I want to move on from this. All right, let's do this. Ken, let's get on this. I want to play this clip 11. Get that one ready, Ken. And this is Joel Gilbert. Now, he's the guy that produced the Dreams from My Real Father, No Place Like Utopia, and Trump, Art of the Deal. Now, he's kind of a anti-communist Jew, kind of David Horowitz level kind of guy. He has no problem really throwing communism and the gulag system under the bus. He doesn't get into the ethnic side of the house of all that, of course. But he's a very stalwart researcher, basically of the Marxist underground in the United States and Russia and so forth and so on. But I want to give this is a good summation, which I've talked about for quite a while now, of the relationship with the Democrats, the Russians, and then perpetrating the hoax onto Trump, that Trump's the mastermind and the traitor with Russia, when Brennan, the commie, and Hillary and Bill and the rest of them, the Uranium One stuff and all that. So let's roll the first part of clip 11.
And we're talking about all the lies of the children, how Democrats behave like children. They like to play doctor. They like to play diplomat. They like to ride bikes. They like to make a mess. And if they can't get their way, they resist and protest and have a tantrum. Another big thing that little children do is create big lies. So the big lie is, of course, the Russia hoax. The book came out finally. We've been hearing about Greg Jarrett from Fox News, called The Russia Hoax, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton and frame Donald Trump. Now, I've been thinking about how the Democrats came up with this hoax, and I think I have some good information and perspective that tells us, reinforces the fact that it is a hoax. You have to say, well, how did they come up with the idea to frame Donald Trump? To say, hey, Donald Trump, you're working for the Russians. Now, remember, the Democrats have been up to their ears in Russians and communists for 50 years. Also remember that socialism is a war on the individual. It's a war on individualism and individual liberty. It's about collectivism. The collective idea is there's one set of rules and one set of beliefs, and that's it. If you don't believe in it, you're crazy. That's why they called it being anti-Soviet in the Soviet Union. If you didn't believe in the collective, you're anti-Soviet, and you can end up in a gulag. They send you away. So Democrats and progressives really don't have any new ideas since 1917. So they don't know how to think of ideas. They're not creative. They just say, well, the government's going to take all your property. We're going to control all the industry. We're going to have a police force to force you to go to work. And we'll take all the money for ourselves. And if you object, it's the gulag. You're going to the gulag. So that's why during the Cold War, the progressives loved Joseph Stalin. As I've chronicled in my movie, most people have seen also InfoWars Store, Dreams from My Real Father, I chronicled how Frank Marshall Davis was one of the original black Bolsheviks out of Chicago. He was sent to Hawaii in 1948 on the orders of the Kremlin to organize a dock worker strike to try to remove the U.S. naval forces from Hawaii, which the Soviets considered an obstacle to expansion in Asia. In the 60s, the Weather Underground, SDS, they loved Russia. They collaborated with Cuban intelligence. Into the 80s, Ted Kennedy, it was revealed in the Russian archives that Ted Kennedy tried to work with Russian dictator, former KGB head Yuri Andropov, to undermine Ronald Reagan. It was in the archives. We can pull up that article of Ted Kennedy, and you'll see that it's an actual document that he tried to get the Russians to work with him to undermine Reagan. Of course, we know that Bernie Sanders, obsessed with loving Russia during the Cold War, all the oppression, the political prisoners, Bernie Sanders thinks it's a great place to honeymoon. He'll just go honeymoon in the Soviet Union, you know? So you see people showing up today. You saw people showing up a couple years ago to Bernie Sanders rallies. He would say things like, you know, we're going to break up the banks. We're going to break up the pharmaceutical companies. That's pure communism. It means the government's going to control all these industries. And, of course, state bureaucrats are not as skilled as entrepreneurs. So all these businesses end up failing. That's pure communism. But people would clap. People clap for Bernie Sanders, even though they had no idea what he was talking about. And that is a grave danger, that people are voting for people like Sanders and Obama, not knowing the evil idea they have in mind. And you have to also say, why did they come up with the Russia hoax? Well, because they thought of it because Obama was controlled by Putin. Let's take a quick look at this video, Obama Medvedev, back in 2012.
My last election, please. Yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah.
And I transmit this information to Vladimir and Zelensky.
A few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not al-Qaeda, you said Russia. In the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back because, you know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years.
Okay, so that's Obama. Let's cut it off. That's Obama showing that he's going to cooperate with Russia. And so you got to ask, when he tells Medvedev, I'll be more flexible after the election, that should have been a special counsel. Trump never did anything like that. But it shows he's under the control of Putin, because Obama was the most pro-Russia president in his first term. He canceled the missile defense shield in Eastern Europe. He reset, gave technology transfers to Russia, leading from behind. That means America does not lead the world, lead the free world, allowing Russia to fill the vacuum in the balance of power. They invaded Crimea. They set up a base in Syria. Obama made the Iran deal. This is all pro-Russia. It all benefits Russia. So Obama was the most pro-Russia president. And I think I even said at the National Press Club in 2012 that it was dangerous for an American president to maintain a secret that if it came out, it would ruin his political career. If I could figure out that his real father was a Russian agent, Frank Marshall Davis, who radicalized him, then the KGB that had a file on Davis also figured it out. So that's the real Russia hoax. And that's where the Democrats got the idea from. Our guy's been controlled by the Russians. We've been in bed with the Russians. Wouldn't it be funny if we said that Trump does that? So that's how it all came about. That's
go ahead and forward it to 3735. Now, that I don't necessarily completely agree with that, but it does, let's just say, when you get into the whole perestroika deception, the Putin still remaining loyal to, let's just say, an expansionist ideology, kind of a crypto-communism that's going to come back later. You know, other people believe that. A lot of people think Putin's a big, you know, Orthodox Christian now, and he's given up communism and Marxism and so forth. I mean, that could be argued. I've been saying that's the million-dollar question and I've been on the air all these years of what really motivates Putin. Is it Marxism, or is it basically Russian nationalism and Orthodox Christianity? You know, it remains to be seen. It's an interesting take on the subject, though, to kind of put in your hard drive to keep there for future reference. This is a caller calling in about Mexico and the new AMLO, the new president. Now we got Ocasio-Cortez here, this little dunce with her star on the rise, this manufactured little democratic socialist coming from a multimillion-dollar daddy architecture firm out in the suburbs, claiming she's a girl from the Bronx, et cetera, et cetera. But let's listen to this caller that calls in and talks to Gilbert at 3735. Go ahead, Ken.
Let's go to Dan in Texas. Dan in Texas, go ahead. You're on the Alex Jones Show.
Thank you, sir. I have a question. We're tough. We were tough with North Korea, but we're not really tough on Mexico, that the communist president that just got elected is telling everybody he's got both borders open, come to America to have a new life. You know, that could be considered an act of war, and maybe they build their own fence if they know that we're not going to deal with it. And if they don't deal with it, maybe we can just go in there and clean that place out. The drugs and, you know, I would call them missiles coming here full of disease and crap. I mean, what do you think about that?
All right, go ahead. Look, stop I've covered in the last few weeks about this thing with Mexico and the United States, and I consider this an act of war. What the Mexican government is doing to the United States with basically not stopping people trying to exit Mexico into the United States. This is an act of basically genocidal, biological, and demographic warfare. Reconquista, Aztlan, the whole thing. This is war, and none of these Republicans have the nuts to say it's war. Because a lot of them are controlled by Kosher Nostra and Jesuit mob, who are all open borders. I just read the Jesuit Refugee Service garbage. Ken, get clip 15 ready. This is Tucker Carlson about Democrats and illegals. But remember, half the Republican Party, Jeff Flake, John McCain, Paul Ryan, they're all open borders goons. Let's roll clip 15.
Party this was is a good organized one. Around the interests of ordinary Americans. Democrats ran campaigns on things like higher wages, better working conditions, against the banks that crushed their voters with debt. A lot of Democratic ideas didn't always work. Some were silly, but their focus was always clear. American citizens were the party's priority, and that is no longer the case. To the modern Democratic Party, Americans are an afterthought. Try to find a Democrat running this year, for example, on the opioid crisis or high energy prices, the collapse of public schools, the decline of the middle class. Hard to find one. Democrats are bored by these topics. What interests them is power. In order to win and maintain power, Democrats understand they need reliable new voters, voters who will support them obediently without making difficult demands like a higher standard of living. That's why the Democratic Party suddenly supports open borders so fervently. Immigration is really the only issue that matters to them because packing the electorate is the only way they can regain control of this country. Their goal is clear, and they will do or say anything to achieve it. Here, for example, is the governor of New York likening the Trump administration to Islamic terrorists for the crime of daring to enforce federal immigration law. Watch.
They are on a jihad to deport as many people as they can who they believe are not in the United States legally.
Who they believe are not in the United States legally. Pretty easy to determine whether someone's here legally or not. And it wasn't that long ago that leading Democrats, like Bill Clinton, for example, argued in public that our country should deport illegal immigrants. They're here illegally, after all. They're breaking our law. Now, Democrats claim that non-citizens, even illegal ones, have a right to vote in our elections. That is happening in San Francisco and in parts of the state of Maryland. By the 2020 election, it'll be happening in many other places. That's guaranteed. Now, you'd think congressional Republicans would be upset about this. Allowing illegals to occupy and run our country makes a mockery of citizenship. It's terrible for America, and it's a death sentence for the Republican Party. But nope. Republicans on the Hill seem okay with this. Here's one example. In 2014, the Obama administration changed the rules so that anybody claiming a threat from gang violence or domestic abuse could get asylum in the United States. The effect was to allow pretty much anybody to permanently enter this country, provided they supplied the right story. And many, many did. Of course, that was precisely the point, to open the borders without saying so. Well, earlier this summer, Attorney General Jeff Sessions reversed the Obama rule. Now, House Republicans somehow, for some reason, are teaming up with Democrats to stop Sessions from doing that. Just yesterday, they tacked an amendment onto an appropriations bill in the House that would preserve the asylum rights of anybody who claims to be fleeing gang violence. That change would nullify any effort to secure our southern border. Mexico and Central.
Stop it. Go ahead and stop. This is treason at the highest levels, both political parties. Okay? And look. And it's these two factions that control it, the Georgetown Jesuit thug faction, the Vatican, Pope Francis over here supporting migrants and open borders all again this week. The priests in Italy are turning against the deputy prime minister, the minister of the interior, Salvini, because he wants to stop his country being destroyed. This is madness. This is madness. These people need to be checked. And checked hard. Now, we got a few minutes left. I saw this in the Daily Caller. Here's what happened when a Trump supporter became a commie camp counselor. 20-year-old supporter of President Trump resigned from her position as a counselor at a summer camp known as Commie Camp, she told the Daily Caller News Foundation in an exclusive interview. Gabriella Mamet said she resigned as a counselor at Camp Kinderland in Tolland, Massachusetts, bunch of commies up there, obviously. After nearly a month of Trump bashing, Black Lives Matter chants, and hostility from campers, progressive film director Katie Halper coined Kinderland Commie Camp in a 2013 documentary. They didn't really mention how political of a camp it was in the phone interview or anything, Mamet told Daily Caller. I went on their website and I thought it was pretty much a normal camp. When I got there during orientation, it was kind of surprising at how political it was. The 20-year-old worked at the camp from the June 28 orientation until she quit July 22nd. Camp Kinderland assigned her to 14 and 15-year-old campers. Her campers allegedly wanted to know the Trump supporters' views on political issues, but Mamet was not comfortable sharing them. Camp Kinderlin is a multicultural summer camp and community that honors our progressive, secular Jewish roots through our commitment to economic, racial, and social justice. Oh, who was I just talking about social justice? Oh, the Jew suits. I mean the Jesuits. Now we've got this honors our progressive, secular Jewish roots through our commitment to economic, racial, and social justice. Do you see the parallel? Hello, am I talking to a wall? According to its mission statement, Kinderland summer programming and year-round activities integrate progressive values with arts, recreation, and activism in a compassionate and caring environment. Campers were attacking me for my political views and just saying that they would feel threatened with me as their counselor. They were saying that they felt threatened by me as a counselor and not knowing my views on gun control. They said to my face, all Trump supporters are bad people. They're racist, homophobic, and we don't want them at our camp. Now listen to this. She said the staff had a meeting following a July 20th article in the Daily Caller showcasing the nearly 50 Antifa flags campers had designed. Nearly 50 Antifa flags campers had designed. Mamet said staff members were instructed not to use social media at the meeting. Ah. Aside from Antifa flag making, so secular Jewish kids, 14 to 15-year-olds, are being brainwashed and sucked into creating Antifa flags. Isn't this fascinating? We see Antifa in Germany in the 20s. Okay. The communist Antifa in the 20s in Germany. And everybody's whining that just these people are just innocuous and they were just, they didn't belong in internment camps. While of course we locked up all those Japanese folks in internment camps here. There are five teams and every team gets an issue. My particular team was Black Lives Matter. Okay. And so they got the Jewish kids all worried about pumping the Black Lives Matter propaganda. You see the whole thing with the Holocaustianity and then creating this magical, blacks are just targeted by everybody. The N-bomb is a magic word. It's like kryptonite to black people. And so now if somebody utters the word, they're allowed to kill you. I mean, so and then there's another article, kids at summer county camp design Antifa flags. Very, very fascinating. You see this strange relationship that I always talk about. Social justice. Who are the big two parties? Secular progressive Jews and then your Jesuit left-wing liberation theology, social justice, Jesuit types. And then they're all of their lackeys, all of their students. You know how many Jesuit universities there are? There's one, the huge one here in St. Louis. They run this town. Go across the country. I got 3 minutes left. I should just type in list. My computer's acting up. Jesuit universities. Let's see what we can find here. I got 2 minutes left. The music's gonna start, but you get what I'm saying. And what I didn't get to, Buzz Aldrin, Odd TV has him admitting, well, to a little girl, hey, Ken, you want to cue up clip one? Let's finish the show with this. This is kind of weird with Mr. Buzz Aldrin since my computer wants to lock up. Let's roll clip one whenever you get it ready, Ken. You'll find this interesting. He's talking to an 8-year-old little girl. You got it?
Promise not to tell.
Why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?
That's not an 8-year-old's question. That's my question. I want to know, but I think I know. because we didn't go there, and that's the way it happened. And if it didn't happen, it's nice to know why it didn't happen. So in the future, if we want to keep doing something, we need to know why something stopped in the past that we wanted.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. It's kind of interesting. Georgetown U, Boston College, Fordham University, Marquette, Loyola in Chicago, St. Louis University, University of San Francisco.